The shots that fired the bullets that entered Pumpkin's head were heard by no less than 8 people. 3 instinctively closed their windows, checked their door locks, and withdrew to the safety, or at least the seclusion, of their small apartments. 2 others, each with experience in such matters, ran from the vicinity as fast, if not faster, than the gunman himself. Another, the neighborhood recycling fanatic, was digging through some garbage in search of aluminum cans when he heard the sharp sounds of the daily skirmish very nearby. He jumped behind a pile of cardboard boxes until the shelling stopped, then eased into the alley where he saw what was left of Pumpkin. And 2 saw almost everything. They were sitting on plastic milk crates at the corner of Georgia and Lamont in front of a liquor store, partially hidden by a parked car so that the gunman, who glanced around briefly before following Pumpkin into the alley, didn't see them. Both would tell the police that they saw the boy with the gun reach into his pocket and pull it out. They saw the gun for sure, a small black pistol. A second later, they heard the shots, though they did not actually see Pumpkin take them in the head. Another second, and the boy with the gun darted from the alley and, for some reason, ran straight in their direction. He ran bent at the waist, like a scared dog, guilty as hell. He wore red and yellow basketball shoes that seemed 5 sizes too big and slapped the pavement as he made his getaway. The police found their man an hour later. His name was Tequila Watson, male black, age 20, with the usual drug-related police record going back 5 years. No family to speak of, no address. The last place he'd been sleeping was a rehab unit on W Street. He'd managed to ditch the gun somewhere, and if he'd robbed Pumpkin, then he'd also thrown away the cash or drugs or whatever the booty was. His pockets were clean, as were his eyes. The cops were certain Tequila was not under the influence of anything when he was arrested. A quick and rough interrogation took place on the street, and he was handcuffed and shoved into the rear seat of a DC police car. They drove him back to Lamont Street, where they arranged an impromptu encounter with the 2 witnesses. "That's him," both of them said at the same time. "No doubt about it," one of them added. Tequila was shoved into the car once again and taken to jail. He was booked for murder and locked away with no immediate chance of bail. No phone call was requested. No mention of a lawyer or a bail bondsman. Tequila seemed dazed but content to sit in a crowded cell and stare at the floor. Pumpkin had no traceable father, but his mother worked as a security guard in the basement of a large office building on New York Avenue. It took 3 hours for the police to determine her son's real name, Ramon Pumphrey, to locate his address, and to find a neighbor willing to tell them if he had a mother. Adelpha Pumphrey was sitting behind a desk just inside the basement entrance, supposedly watching a bank of monitors. She was a large, thick woman in a tight khaki uniform, a gun on her waist, a look of complete disinterest on her face. The cops who approached her had done so 100 times. They broke the news, then found her supervisor. In a city where young people killed each other every day, the slaughter had thickened skins and hardened hearts, and every mother knew many others who'd lost their children. As Adelpha Pumphrey sat at her desk with her face in her hands, she thought of her son and his lifeless body lying somewhere in the city at that moment, being inspected by strangers. She swore revenge on whoever killed him. She cursed his father for abandoning the child. She cried for her baby. And she knew she would survive. Somehow, she would survive.